in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Tonight we'd like to say a few words about verse 6 of chapter 3. And it is just a delight to rely upon an unchanging God. He changes not. I am the Lord. I change not. Now that would be good if that's all we had. But the rest of that verse is much a message to us. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, not destroyed, not put away. So, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Changeableness is the mark of all things earthly. Isaac Watts summed it up in that song we just sang. The scriptures share many times that we're like the grass. I love seeing the grass come out here in the Dalles on the Klickitat Mountains. And yet it's almost too short a time. And then it will be a burn up. When you have about an inch of topsoil, it doesn't take long for all the moisture to dissipate and those green leaves shrivel up to nothing. So I change not. The scriptures talk about that, about humanity. As long as we may live, it's still just a breath, just a mist, a shadow. And so we are delighted to find out that the scriptures teach about the God who is unchangeable, eternal, everlasting, and changes not ever. He's not changed since the beginning. He will not ever change. He has given his decree all at one time in the beginning, and we can't go back that far. We use a term about God in the beginning, but with God there is no beginning. There's just, we can't get back that far. Changeableness is what we deal with all the time. We deal with changeableness with our life. We are ever changing. We're all, from the very beginning of our birth, we're changing. The mountains change every time there's a rainstorm and some dirt falls down in the Columbia River and carried out to the Delta. This world is always changing. And yet we find with God, I change not. Underline it. Put it in great big type. I change not. God is void of all variableness. There is no shadow of turning with God. He is, we use another term, immutable. The immutability of God is a great study, and yet it is the great rock that the church is fastened to, is his immutability. We depend on it every day for our eternal life. It is not based upon us and our faith, it's based upon God and his word that I change not. That is what we're dependent upon. It isn't how good we're doing, how well we're doing. It's upon God that changes not. James chapter 1, verse 17. We alluded to that, but would you turn over there with me to the book of James chapter 1, verse 17. We find here this wonderful passage of Scripture with regard to the Lord, with regard to God. And this is shared that there's a statement made here many pages from the book of Malachi, many years after Malachi wrote. We have the Apostle James is commissioned by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit changes not. God the Father changes not. The Lord Jesus in his purpose of grace changed not, even though he gave up the glory that he had with the Father and came down and spent that 33 and a half years in humanity. His purpose of grace did not change. His purpose of what he was intending to do did not change. So here we find in the book of James, there in James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now that's not what we get for Christmas. That's the spiritual blessings. That's the new birth. Nothing is produced on our end. It all is produced or brought down from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. There's not even the minuscule thought of a change. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And when James wrote that by inspiration, you know what he did? He fell down and thanked God. Because he's just human like you and I are. And if it was dependent upon us, we would not have anything. But it's dependent upon God. So we have everything in Christ Jesus. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In Numbers, would you go back to the Old Testament with me again to the book of Numbers? Numbers chapter 23. This principle that is laid down for the benefit and the comfort of all believers, for the church from the very beginning. I'm convinced that even our brother Abel was blessed by the very thought that his God changed not. To us, it looks like there's all kinds of changing going on, but with God, there has been no changing whatsoever. His mind was made up in eternity, and he is carrying it out to the very fullest. Nothing has moved him from the right hand or to the left hand. No prayer, no problem, no minister, no devil, nothing has changed him from one iota. He has always had a direct line of history, and that's going straight forward, and that's exactly what he continues to do in our day and time, that he is a God that changes not. The world is changing every day. New diseases, my goodness, what we hear today. It's amazing that 10,000 people die from flu in the United States and nobody says a word, and one person dies of coronavirus and it's somebody's fault. This God changes not. And everything that falls out is absolutely all-knowing to him. In fact, he has purposed it. For his glory, for his honor, and for the salvation of the elect. Nothing happens that doesn't happen for the furtherance of the gospel. That's God's everlasting direction towards eternity. Here in the book of Numbers, in the book of Numbers chapter 23, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 9, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man, that he should repent or change his mind. How many times did we change our mind today? Sometimes on purpose, and sometimes we were forced to. We just don't have a direct line. We're moved at the purpose and dispensation of Almighty God, and he will move our mind to do according to his eternal purpose. But we have had to change today, several times, no doubt. And yet, God is not like a man that has to change. Goes on to say, should repent. He hath said, and it shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We just stand in awe at this one who is able to say that and do it. What supreme almighty power has he exercised in the very fact that he changes not, and he lets us know that. That there is no variableness nor shadow of turning with him. Never has been, never will be. He is not influenced by man, weather, disease, or any being. He does all things after the counsel of his own will, and there's nothing that influences him to move him, change him, alter him. and the church has ever been thankful. As we reside upon the rock of his unchangeability, we are thankful that he does not change, because he goes on to share with us there in the book of Malachi, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I will not change my mind about you. My covenant is eternal. It will always be on the behalf of my children. It will always be. And those that the Father hath given me, I have lost none of them. We find the Lord Jesus saying in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. We just are not accustomed to being around anybody like that. I remember coming home from Texas, and we went down in January of 1971. We came back in the late spring or summer of 1971. And the first thing I noticed about my mother, she turned gray. And I went in the bedroom with Nancy and wept. She had changed in less than 6 months. Our children, first thing I noticed about our grandchildren, my, they've changed. They're growing. They're talking, they're walking, they do all kinds of things. They change before our eyes, but it's really apparent when we don't see them for a short time or for a long time. And yet, with God from 1,000 years, he is unchangeable. His ways do not change, his word does not change, his purpose does not change. He is everlasting, the everlasting. I am that I am. This is the God of the church. This is the God of salvation. This is the God of the blood of Christ. This is the God of eternity. This is the God that he has declared. It's interesting to read some commentaries, because there's a lot of folks that just cannot stand to have a God that does not change. They think by some impression that men have that he will change in their direction. Never has happened and never will. God may give that impression once in a while in the scriptures, and that is only to the folly of men. If they can't take the word of God plainly saying, I change not, and apply it to all the verses in the scriptures, then it's just to their folly. Why would you have a God that can change? It is so ungodly. It is unholy to think that God would change when he has said time and time again, I'm not like a man. I don't need to lie. That verse really, that strikes you, you know. I'm not like a man. I don't have to lie about it. So I am God. There is none else. And I change not. And therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It says about Jesus Christ in the New Testament, the same today, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've had people say, well, all those gifts that God had in the New Testament era, they're still continuing. That's not what it says. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's him that changes not. If he purposed that in time there would be no longer any need for healing, that's what he did, and that's what happened. There would be no longer any need for those miracles to take place, and that's what happened. Now, it's not to say that God does not perform miracles on you and I or someone else when it comes to health or those issues. Doctors have been unable to describe what has taken place. That's the purpose of God. But he doesn't need speaking in tongues. He doesn't need raising the sick. He doesn't need all of these extra things that he used in New Testament times to declare him as God that changes not today. And if people are depending upon those to I've had people say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you don't have the blood of Christ, if you haven't trusted him, if he's not your Savior, you're not saved. So that's the criteria. With God, there is no possibility of failure. No possibility of failure. Noah failed. Abraham failed. Jacob failed. Isaac failed. David failed. Solomon failed. Paul failed. Peter failed. God fails not. He's the only underpinning that the church has. He is the only security that the church has. He is the only hope the church has. It is the only way we have eternal life is in Christ Jesus the Lord and not in ourselves. He changes not. I will not remove my covenant from my people. I will not take it away. As bad as David was, God said to him, and David repeated it, "He hath made with me an everlasting covenant." And you know, to a lot of people, David was a scoundrel. To God, he was my son. And to the rest of us, that's the only thing he can say to us. They're rascals, but they're my rascals. They're rascals, but they're my saved rascals. I have given my son's blood on their behalf. I change not. That was the eternal purpose. There was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, carried down through all the Old Testament. 30 years after the birth of the Lord Jesus, 33 years after the birth of the Lord Jesus, he fulfilled all covenant promises in submitting himself to that task that was poured out on him when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the church says, he changes not. He's done that. He's performed that. He's done that. And so there will be no double jeopardy. My children are secure, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I change not. There's no possibility of failure. He's infinite in wisdom, has provided for every emergency. His infinite foreknowledge foresees all obstacles that ever did ever arise and will arise for the church, and has put them aside because he changes not. There's not an obstacle that arises in our life he has not known, and he changes not. The person to whom the unchangeable God is a benefit is the children of God's election. You know, his wrath is unchangeable too. Eternal wrath is unchangeable. It will not stop in time. It is unchangeable. That's God. I've purposed it. I will carry it out. It will be unchangeable. But all my elect will be found, and they will be given grace to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are. It is called the faith of God's elect. And I change not. When I exercise that in them, and they have the faith of Jesus Christ given to them, I will never renounce it. I will never give up on them. They are mine, signed, sealed, and as we read in the book of Romans chapter 8, just as good as delivered. Signed, sealed, and delivered. It tells us they're glorified. I have a little trouble wrapping my hands all around that, because I know where I am and I know what I am. But his word said, you're already signed, you're already sealed, and you're already glorified. Promise of it, and I change not. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, would you turn there with me? 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29. And also the strength of Israel. Did you notice those capital letters? The strength, this is another name of God. The strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, or relent, or change his mind. For he is not a man that he should repent. Sometimes our only way out is to say, I'm sorry. And I appreciate being able to say that from time to time, and I appreciate other people saying that. But you know what? God has never had to say that. God has never, ever had to cross across his lips, using it metaphorically, and saying, I'm sorry for what happened. Why? I change not. I don't have to. I am God, and I change not. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And in the Psalms, would you turn with me to the Psalms, Psalm 102? Psalm 102, verse 12. Psalm 102, verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Then would you drop down with me to verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and the years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. What a promise God has given to the church. Your children will never pass away. They will never, ever lose, be lost to you. And the reason? They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. We're going to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. That's just the way it is. All that have sinned shall die. But that second death that has concerned many folks, that second death, even though people say they don't believe in hell, they get down to it, that second death. Now that's the problem. That second death will never be an issue to the church. That second death was taken care of on the cross. Jesus Christ was able in the time there, able to take care of eternal second death for all his children. And he said, I'll change not. I will not go back on this. This will be the purpose of God, to deliver all his children whole. He is unchangeable in all things. He's unchangeable in his purposes. He's unchangeable in his being. He just changes not. There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You can't even look out on the ground and see a leaf moving with regard to the God of heaven. He changes not. There's no movement. You know, some people say they had to put a stake down to see if this person was actually moving. The shadow. Well, God doesn't move. Shadow's never different. Always the same. And the second part of that verse is where we benefit. It's wonderful to read about God that changes not. It's wonderful to read about God that is not like men, that changes not, that endures. 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. There's just no way of measuring God in that sense, in the sense of time. He's forever been, always has been as he is. He has always had decrees. He's always had purpose. He's always had a covenant of grace. We try to use terms that back it up as far as we can, and yet there's eternity behind it. There is no shadow of turning with him. He changes not. And then we get to the part that we can just sing hallelujah about. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob. Now that's the church. Now there was a part that applied to Jacob himself and to his children. There was something that had to take place through this family. God had promised it, God had purposed it, and he would carry it out. The Messiah was coming through Jacob. You know, we find that the disciples from time to time, one of them is my favorite, says, would you like us just to call lightning down from heaven? Now, we don't have that ability, but I'm sure that there have been times that we've just about thought it. Would you? I'd just like to take care of this. And yet, we don't find that happening. Now, the sons of Jacob, some of them were scoundrels. Judah was a scoundrel. Those folks were just natural men. I can say it again. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Every one of those guys that we read in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ was just like Adam in the fall. They had the same scabs all over them, same diseases all over them. And when we were going through the book of Leviticus, there are times when we think, well, I don't have a problem, and then we got a pimple. Our skin, our body tells us that there was a fall, and we're part of it. And we follow that down through time, and yet we find that God, in his purpose, used that line to bring in the Savior of his folks, the Savior of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. He just did that. And so he watched over that line. But when we get to talking about the spiritual children of Jacob, we're talking about the church. And he is saying the church will not be destroyed, upheavaled, or anything. I will protect every one of my children. Well, some of them went to the cross. Where did they go next? Some of them were executed. Where did they go next? We're going to find out that this is everlasting life that he gives to his folks. They passed through the valley of the shadow of death, and they went through it in an inglorious manner. But the next step was eternal life. Abel was beaten to death by his very own brother, and yet the next step is in the presence of God Almighty. I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I'll present you spotless. That's the promise of this everlasting, eternal, unchanging God, is that we will have eternal life, and no man can take it away. God's not going to renege on it. Man can't destroy it. And I've had people say, well, we can wish ourselves out of it. No, we can't. Once the deal is done and by God's grace, there's no. And God's people are never going to say that about that. It's, I'm thankful. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, we find out that the church itself, as God has spoken, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. We have nothing in ourselves. The church, the existence of the church does not arise from our faithfulness. The eternality of the church does not reside in our faithfulness. If it did, we're all in trouble. Because it's going to have to be 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 in, 7, 7, every day, if that's the requirement. And we don't have it in us. But he has it in his hands to provide all that. It is the faith of God's elect, and there are a number of places that we read that it's the faith of Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us that faith, and therefore we have nothing in ourselves. The church does not arise from its faithfulness, but from God's unchanging mercy and purpose. That's our only security, is someone else. A child's security in one of our parking lots is not theirs. It's ours to take care of it. And so it is with God. It's not ours, but it's his that he takes care of us. It's God's faithfulness to us. Now, the I had something here. God certainly does not change. We find that repeated time and time again. I'm in the wrong spot. Arthur W. Pink said he cannot change for the better, for he is already perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. He's perfect. He cannot, you know, if he has to change, it's either for the better or for the worse. When we change, it's either the better or for the worse. And usually. But God does not change. He doesn't get better. He doesn't get worse. He's perfect in all his attributes. I change not, or I am not changed, is what we find there. Man would often have become weary of men's wickedness. It doesn't take us long to read through the scriptures and say, man, I'm tired of that already. I'm sure that there were people that were tired of that. But we're thankful that God endured all the way and let you and I be born. There were times, Sodom and Gomorrah, he destroyed it. But guess what? He took his one out. Lot. Justified Lot was taken out before that could happen. The covenant people, the sons of Jacob, it's the sons of God, the object of his everlasting covenant that God has purposed to give eternal life to, and that he changes not. You know, turn with me to the book of John. We got a couple readings in the book of John I'd like to read here as we think about God's unchangeability. And Jesus Christ shares a whole lot about that in his words here in the book of John, chapter 10. John chapter 10. It's not our faithfulness. Now that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be faithful. But nobody's going to be depending upon their faithfulness. We want to serve God. We want to love God. We want to do what's right. We should wake up every morning and say, God, help me from sinning. But it is not that that is our security, because we're failures. It's not our security to have faithfulness. It's our security to have Him who is faithful. And here in the book of John, and in chapter 10, verse 27, John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The church is not consumed the moment we have a bad thought about God, or a bad thought about God's providence, or a bad thought about someone else, or a bad thought about ourselves. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and Father are one. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob will be presented spotless. I am the Lord. I change not. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, we don't have a grasp of that yet, do we? We appreciate it. We enjoy it. We sing about it. We delight in it. We read scripture about it. But eternal life is that which we will recognize the moment we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. We say, I have eternal life. How do you know that? Because that's what the book says. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 17. John, chapter 17. Verse 1, 2, and 3. John, chapter 17. These words spake Jesus. These words spake Jesus. And lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There in verse 2 it says, As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are always kept perfect in my power and will reside with me all through your life and through eternity. I like it when the Lord said that he walks beside his church. He walks with us. We're not left here defenseless. He is our guard and guide. He is the one that overshadows us. And then it tells us in the book of Romans, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what he means when he says, ye sons of Jacob shall not be consumed. I'll not change my mind about you. I'll not change my mind about you ever. I'll never change my mind about you. And we say, I love that thought. Never have God ever. He lets us know that his decree has purposed eternal life for all that the Father gave to the Son, and all that the Son went to the cross to die for, and all the Holy Spirit has ever went out and sought and found and brought in and gave the new birth to. I change not. You are my family. You are my children. You are the sheep of my pasture. I will defend you. I have defended you. I will defend you to the end. You will be in my presence for eternity, and I'll be able to say to all of you, welcome my good and faithful servants. And I don't know if we'll even think about it then, but we think now, how can he say that about us? Because he changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. One other verse I'd like to read, and that's found over in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1. I'm sorry, there are two verses I want to read. Titus chapter 1. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob shall have eternal life. And then finally, if you turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. His unchangeableness is evident in this passage of Scripture also. Matthew chapter 25, all the cajoling that people say they're going to have before God. All, please look at my works. Please examine them. Have we not? Have we not done many mighty works in thy name? Have we not even cast out demons? Have we even raised the dead? We've done all sorts of things for you, Jesus. Now, let's cajole. Let's bargain. You know, God is not a bargainer. Never has been, never will be. God changes not. His mind is made up in eternity. And here in the book of Matthew 25 and verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. These shall go, all the bargainers, all those without Christ, shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so, in the very next verse we'll get to next week, the Lord brings this out over there in the book of Malachi. But we go back to verse 6. He says, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob have eternal life. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are my children, marked out, marked by the Spirit, branded, if you please, and I will guide you to eternity.